In our first reading today, the prophet Isaiah sees an incredible vision. And this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And you have to imagine how startling and terrifying this would have been for Isaiah. You know, one moment he's probably just sitting there in the temple praying. And then the next moment he sees this vision of the heavens. And he sees that the all-powerful Lord sitting on this lofty throne. It says that there's seraphim worshiping in his presence. The seraphim, the word literally means fiery ones. They're angels of fire. They're the highest, traditionally the highest choir of angels. And they're so close to the presence of God that they're literally consumed by the fire of his love. And so, and then they take a burning coal and bring it out and touch it to Isaiah's lips to purify him. So he sees this incredible vision. And you have to imagine that that vision probably would have had a huge impact on Isaiah. You know, it probably would have shattered entirely his view of reality, the world as he knows it. As suddenly his eyes are opened and he sees the power and the authority that God has over human history. I think there's a strong tendency for us to think that we, especially in the modern world, that we have an understanding of our world and of nature, that we've kind of figured things out, you know, because we have advanced in scientific knowledge and knowledge of technology and science and engineering. People kind of think, oh, we know how the world works and why things happen. And there's a tendency for people to think that we're also in charge. But I think in general, our society has lost sight of the more important part of reality, which is not just the physical reality of science and nature around us, but more importantly, the one who brought the reality into existence and the one who sustains and truly is driving human history. I think we're more educated about the material world than we've ever been in history, but at the same time, I think people today have generally lost sight more than ever of the one who brought the material world into existence, and they've lost sight of supernatural realities. But I think that's why the first reading today from Isaiah is so important, because, you know, just like it would have completely altered Isaiah's view of reality, it has the power to do that for us as well. And so I want to take a few minutes to reflect on just a couple aspects of the first reading and Isaiah's vision and just lift up the veil a little bit and help us to see some of the realities that are not part of our physical material world, but realities that are very important nevertheless. The first thing I want to focus on from Isaiah's vision is how he sees the Lord seated upon a throne, a high and a lofty throne. You know, why is a throne important? A throne is symbolic of authority. You know, kings have thrones, which are symbols of their authority over their kingdom. And so by seeing the Lord sitting on his throne, what this is indicating is that God has complete and total authority over all of creation. Nothing can happen in our world or in our lives unless God wills it or unless he allows it to happen. You know, some things he wills directly, like when he calls us to a vocation. If he calls someone to marriage, he's directly willing that. Other things like sin, which are part of our world, he doesn't will that directly. But he allows us to have human freedom. And so he permits things, or he'll permit things to happen for a greater good. So everything that happens in our world happens because God either wills it or he permits it. And so when it comes to the things that we need in our lives, we can turn to God with absolute confidence that he is going to provide for us. He is going to provide, as he sees fit, what's in accord with our best good. He's going to provide for us. And the thing is, we have to realize that we're not on our own to try and get ahead. You know, we don't have to be completely and totally self-dependent, thinking that by our own effort, we can get what we want, because the reality is that's not true. The most important thing is for us to have a trust in God and to know that he has the power to provide for every one of our needs, and his love for us is deep enough that he does care for the needs that we have in our lives. And especially when we're required to make sacrifices for God, he blesses those abundantly. when we have to make a sacrifice and when to come to Mass on Sunday when we're tired or when there's something else, you know, that we have to sacrifice going to a sports game to come to Mass, or when we have to make sacrifices to live in accord with our Lord's teachings on marriage, the Lord blesses us abundantly when we do that. But the most important thing for us is to come before the Lord with complete and total trust, because that's what he wants from us. He wants us to come to him like children coming to their mother or father with complete and total trust. The second element of the vision that I want to focus on is the smoke that it says fills the house. You know, what is the smoke? You know, it's not just smoke as if something's on fire. It's talking about incense. The incense was offered in the temple twice every day. The priest would go into the temple and they would take handfuls of incense and put them on the charcoals. And incense would fill the innermost chamber, the Holy of Holies in the temple. The incense symbolized the prayers of the people of Israel rising up to God. Prayer, I think, to modern people seems like the biggest waste of time ever. Like, you just sit there, you kneel down, you say some words, you're not being productive, you're not out working, you know, and we don't always see any instant results from prayer. But our Lord wants us to dedicate time to prayer, and he wants us to dedicate time generously to prayer. And what we see in this vision is that our prayers are ascending and filling the very sanctuary in heaven where God is on his throne with a beautiful and a sweet aroma that our Lord is breathing in. And what that means is our prayers are not a waste of time. Every prayer matters. And every prayer that we offer up at this altar when we come to Mass ascends to the very sanctuary of God in heaven. And so we should never doubt the prayers that we offer. And it's not a waste of time, but in fact, it's the most productive use of time that we could possibly have. Because what better way to dedicate time than interceding before the very God who has complete and total authority over every aspect of this world and of our lives? You know, prayer transforms us and it opens us up to a relationship with God. The third part of the vision that I want to focus on is the song of adoration that the angels are singing. They're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." That's something that each one of us is probably familiar with from the Mass. You know, it's a hymn that we sing before the Eucharistic prayer at every Mass. And why do we sing that hymn? The reason why that hymn is a part of Mass is because at every single Mass, the heavens are opened up and earth and heaven unite in one act of worship. So when we come to worship here, we're not alone. We are joining with the seraphim that we hear in the reading today, singing that song of adoration before the very throne of God. The Mass is not a human reenactment of the Last Supper. The Mass is a sacrament where Jesus Christ himself is offering himself to his heavenly Father. The same action that's going on in eternity in the sanctuary of heaven is happening right here on this altar. And so when we sing that song of adoration, we're joining with the invisible choirs of angels in their eternal song of praise, and we're joining with them. And the deeper our faith is, and the closer we come to our Lord and to the Eucharist, the more our hearts are set on fire, just like the cherubim, the fiery ones, are on fire with the flame of God's love. And so the deeper our faith is in the Eucharist, the deeper and closer we draw to the Eucharist, the more we ourselves will be set on fire, and the more deeply we'll be able to enter into the angelic song of praise. And so, as we continue with this Mass, I encourage everyone to forget about your jobs and whatever maintenance projects you have lined up, or schoolwork, whatever sports, investment portfolios, just forget about all of it. Let it all go. And allow our eyes to be opened to what God is doing. As we kneel before his throne and recognize that he is the one who has complete and total power over every detail of the universe. And send up our prayers as a sweet aroma that arrives from this altar into the very sanctuary of heaven. And we join in the hymn of adoration of the choirs of angels.